Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله. All unqualified praise is due to Allah, and after that, all unqualified praise is due to Allah. الحمد لله الذي أنزل علينا كتاب مبين. Praise be to Allah who sent down upon us His book most clear. الحمد لله الذي خلق الإنسان في أحسن التقويم. All unqualified praise is due to Allah who created the human being in the most excellent mode. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. We bear witness and testimony without hesitation, without reservation, without embarrassment, that there is no deity, no object of worship except Allah. له الملك, His is the kingdom. وله الحمد, to Him is due all unqualified praise. بيده الخير, in His hand is all good. وهو على كل شيء قدير, and He has power over all things. ونشهد أن سيدنا محمد عبده ورسوله. We bear open and testimony without hesitation, reservation, or embarrassment that Muhammad, to whom the Quran is revealed, is His slave servant, His last and final prophet. We say, Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barak ala sayyidina Muhammad. O Allah, send Your peace and Your blessings and Your mercy upon our leader Muhammad, wa ala alihi, upon his family, wa sahbihi, and upon his companions, ajma'een. All of them, wa ya ayyuha al-muslimun, and upon you, O Muslims, God's peace, the peace that only Allah can give, be on you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, wa jumu'ah mubarak. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ar-rijalu qawwamuna ala nisa'i bima fadlallahu ba'duhum ala ba'd, wa bima anfaku min amwalihim. فالصالحات قانتات حافظات للغيب بما حفظ الله. صدق الله العظيم. Allah the Mightiest has spoken the truth. This is the first half of Surah An-Nisa, Ayah 34. That is the 34th verse. a translation or an expression of it is, men are those who fulfill their responsibility to establish women by recognizing the favors of Allah by which He obligates them to the other and by what they spend for them from their wealth. So righteous women are devoutly obedient, guarding in the absence what Allah would have them guard. And we say, Sadaqallah al-Azim, Allah the Mightiest has spoken the truth. This is the seventh, and for the men's portion of it, this is the seventh segment of our subject of manhood and the degeneration of masculinity in modern times. But there's obviously, if you have a pair, then you have to have two. So we've been speaking about the man for seven segments, and inshallah today you should be able to get all seven segments. And this is going to be the last, despite whatever my personal feelings are in that sense, we got to move on. So we will begin inshallah with the woman. The woman, and I don't know, I don't have a title like the degeneration of femininity in modern times. I don't know. We're just going to talk about the woman in that context because we both go together. We both go together. But today we want to go ahead. We want to go ahead and finish at least the man's portion for this series, and then inshallah we'll do more perhaps later. I'm sorry. I didn't set my own watch before. And I want to make sure that I do that. Okay. Now, to begin with for today, let's talk about a very important idea. And the idea is the idea of abstraction. Abstraction. Now, what I've already said, and I say it often, I'll just give it one sentence and move on. Do not be afraid of words. The radius of your vocabulary dictates the circumference of your life. The smaller your vocabulary, the smaller your life, period. The smaller your vocabulary, the smaller your words. But you don't just pick up words just to have words. You have to have words that have meaning, and meaning relates to the goals that you have in life, right? So there's a relevance for this for us is that, in my view, we need to understand this idea of our capacity for abstraction. So what is the capacity for abstraction? Abstraction is the person's ability to draw out the essence, the value, or the utility from something concrete. Something concrete, right? Just anything. Statue of Liberty. I know there's a lot of emotional content just to talk about Statue of Liberty, but the point is, at one level, it's just a statue. It's just a statue. But as a statue, it holds certain values. There are certain principles that are represented by that object. Abstraction is the ability to get out of it what it's trying to communicate. And the artist put in what they constructed, they put the value, they put the principle, they put the idea in the object that they created, right? And so the observer comes and should ask, well, what is he trying to say? What is he trying to say? Well, your ability to understand what the artist is saying means that you have the capacity for abstraction in that respect, right? Whatever. It could be Shakespeare, a Shakespearean play, anything, you know? You see the play, you read the play, blah, blah. Okay, well, that's a piece of art, right? You look at it, you got to ask, well, what does it mean? Well, whoever wrote it, if they're worth being remembered at any higher level of consideration, they embedded in that play values, principles, ideas that they felt were worthy to whoever was going to be there or whoever is their prime audience. Okay, so Who gets it? The people who are able to abstract from the play. Oh, this is what he means, and that's what he means, and this is what she meant. This is why she did it that way. That's the capacity for abstraction, okay? And what's the goal? The goal is once you abstract it, now take that principle, take that value, take that idea, and go apply it somewhere else. That's what you have to do. You have to get out of it what was put into it and see its value, not just at that place in time in that moment, but you got to see its value 5 years from now, 5 minutes from now, or 5 hours from now, because the value of it is what can it do for my life? Because after that, what's important if it can't do nothing for your life? Okay? But you have to have the capacity for abstraction to do that. Okay. So the concrete thing was, in my example, the concrete thing was the Statue of Liberty or the Shakespearean play. And it's for every, and it's for any other object that has any kind of value in any particular culture, whatever, kufi, you know, scarves. Those are objects. Those are artifacts. But those objects and artifacts carry a value, okay? So it's understanding that value and taking that value and applying it in the world, understanding what's called the behavioral significance of it is the important thing. So let's bring it to a concrete example so as to understand what the Quran is saying to us abstractly about man. Because Quran is saying something. And our capacity for abstraction is saying, God is getting the answer. God, what are you telling me? Right? So let's say, for example, you want to build a house. And actually, let's go to a kindergarten class. Well, let's go to a second grade class. Yeah, for sure, a second grade class. So you ask the little boy, little girl, draw me a house. They draw a house. And you can pretty much see in your mind what the house that they draw is going to look like. It'll have about four parts, maybe. Sides, pitch roof. Rarely will you see it, you know, drawn like that. It certainly will have a door, and many times it'll have those windows. You know, you have those windows with the square in it, right? Sometimes they have a chimney with smoke coming out of, even though they don't live in a place where they have fireplaces and chimneys. But if you brought a picture like that to a child, and you just asked the child just of the picture, what is this? Child say, it's a house. Not even a child that drew it. You're talking to somebody else. What is this? What are they going to say? It's a house. And you'll be satisfied that that's the right answer, right? And the one that drew it had abstracted what a house is. And the one who saw it had also abstracted before seeing that object what a house is. So that when they see this thing that was drawn as a house and they look at it, then they bring out the understanding that, oh, that's a house. But in the final analysis, have you ever seen a house like that? I'm talking about a real house. You know, maybe in one of these Disney movies or something, they might make you think like, but it ain't real. Go down the street, go to any neighborhood, and see if you see a house that looks like those kindergarten drawn houses, second grade drawn houses. You don't see that. But they still said it's a house. Why? It's an abstract house. It's an abstract house. So that's just from the picture. Okay. So then house, what is a house really made of? Four walls, a roof, and a door. You don't even have to have windows. Windows are optional. Windows are a detail. Okay? And for as far as it being, on the ground, the floor is on our, in fact, ard. When we say ard also means floor. So just on the earth brings the floor automatically. So the walls and the roof are what you have to, and the door is what you have to bring in order for it to be a house for all intents and purposes. Now, don't ask your wife to live in a place. Well, we got a door, we got four walls, I got a roof over your head. You know, don't ask her to live there. She ain't gonna live there. It's a house, but it ain't my house, right? So the idea is that the abstract house is just that. Those fundamental elements, those fundamental parts. Okay, so then what does it mean in terms of the abstract of something? An abstract of something is a low-resolution model of it. It's accurate, but it's not detailed. Okay, go back to the kindergarten picture. What is this? Child says, the one who drew it and the one who looks at it, says, that's a house. Is that accurate that that's a house? Yeah, it's accurate that it's a house, but is it detailed? No, it's not detailed. So you could say that it's a house, then you say yes and no. No, if you're talking about the reality, yes, if you're talking about the abstract. Get that, because we're about to talk about the abstract man. So the abstract of something is a low-resolution model of it. That child's picture, that's a low-resolution model of the house. It's accurate. It's got a roof. It's got walls. It's got a door. That's accurate, but is it detailed? No. It's not detailed. But if you say it's a house, yes, it's a house. All right, now let's do that same thing with man. And this verse from the Quran. Allah says, "Ar-rijalu qawwamuna 'ala an-nisaa'i bima fadlallahu wa ba'dahum 'ala ba'd wa bima anfaqu min amwalihim." That's God telling us what a man is. There ain't no kindergarten picture here. This is the creator of us telling us what the abstract man is. What is he? Ar-rijalu qawwamuna 'ala an-nisaa. They are the ones who establish women. Because Allah has favored one over the other, and because of the wealth that they spend on them. What you're looking at right there is you're looking at walls, a roof, and a door. That's the walls and the roof and the door for a man, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered it. So in the first order, the abstract man is responsible towards the women. Any man, any male, gotta make the distinction. Any male that's irresponsible towards women, his manhood is in question. That's in God's abstract of man. So that's one. First, men accept responsibility towards the women, and they see their strength that gives them an advantage over the woman. They don't see that as a way and a means to exploit and abuse and neglect and oppress women. They see that extra as something God gave them to use to fulfill that responsibility. So that's one. And then the other is that, and because of what they spend on them. A man is not afraid to spend on the women that he's responsible for. A man. I'm talking about God's man. I think he was a football player. I think he got fined a couple of times for wearing a band on his head. The man of God. I think he said something like that. Man of God. He's going to punish the man because he want to declare that he's a man of God. Right? Somebody else's business. But we are talking about the man that Allah had in mind. So when you look at the abstract house, roof, walls, and a door, abstract man responsible for women and they spend on them. Abstract man. You lose either one of those, you lost the man. So I'm going to go through a list of 12 things or values, principles, ideas, what have you. And I'm really just going to read them because there's a very important aspect that I want to get to and I don't want to lose the time. So it starts like this. A man, and then we finish with is this, does that, etc. And when we say a man, we're talking about the man that Allah intends and that Allah calls us to be. Number one, a man is responsible. Some of these you've heard in the previous lectures and even today. A man is disciplined and attentive. And that's all around, not just to women. All around, their general way of being is disciplined and attentive. A man is law-abiding and respectful of the law. A man networks and communicates with other men. A man is persistent. A man is obedient to and transmits the legacy of high values. This actually goes along with Ar-Rijal Qawwamuna. A Qa'im is somebody that's standing, someone who stands. Qa'im. We say Qad Qamat As-Salah, make the Iqama. It means stand up. But it also is the root for standards. A man lives by standards, and not just any standards. A man lives by the highest standards, what Islam, the Quran, calls ma'ruf. Ma'ruf are those standards that are universal standards that you find across time and space and culture that are valued. A man upholds that in their group life. He upholds integrity. He upholds trustworthiness. He upholds discipline. He upholds mercy and justice and all the other those attributes. That's what a man does. So a man is obedient to and transmits the legacy of high values. A man focuses on their obligations. What am I obligated to do? Am I paying attention to that? Am I neglecting that? A man pays attention to their responsibilities, focuses on their obligations. A man keeps those in their care aware of anything that makes them vulnerable to harm. A man, if I see something that my wife does that may hurt her, I have to figure a way to communicate that to her. Maybe she might not think that it's something that may hurt her. But if I, as a man, am aware that, no, this possibly hurt you, I need to make her aware of that. My children, the same, my friends, the same, my community, the same, my ethnic group, the same. A man makes his people aware of what makes them vulnerable to harm. They don't just ignore it. A man prevents anyone from acting in ways that undermine the interest of the group. We've given the definition before, very briefly here. Manhood is a social barrier. So that becomes like a house too. Manhood is a social barrier that's built up around the group life to protect it from physical enemies, from entropy, meaning things going from order to chaos, from entropy, from the forces of time and nature, and from human weaknesses. So when a man sees human weaknesses, and those human weaknesses may undermine or make vulnerable their group life, then a man says something about it, does something about it. Why? Because that's the manhood responsibility. To fight against human weaknesses, physical enemies, entropy, and the forces of time and nature. If the walls are breaking down, if the walls are tearing down, it's the man's responsibility to repair the wall, to hold the wall, rebuild the wall, whatever the case may be. A man consults with other men. A man is not trying to be the Lone Ranger. A man is not trying to be the know-it-all. A man is not afraid to be seen as having a weak ego because he asks for consultation and information about this, that, or the other. No, that's what men do. And the most successful men are those who have the broadest network of communication with other men that share the same interests. And that's how their manhood advances and their projects advance as well. Men respect authority. A man respects authority. And what is critical to this idea of respect for authority? One of the things is, see, there's a hierarchy of values that we should respect. You know, we used to say in the Nation of Islam, the FOI, as we were called, is that if you don't respect the man, you have to respect the office. Respect the office. Oh, you know, maybe a visit to Wakanda might help. Okay, after Black Panther went down and whatever, and the woman, the Amazon, it's a big story in that. How come the women were the key people for the army? I'm going to go Arsenio on you. But after he went down, after that all happened, he said, what did the key woman say? She had to be convinced to flip, to go otherwise. Said, no, I'm devoted to that throne. I'm sworn to that throne. I'm sworn to the order. It's like I was with you as long as you was on this order. But as soon as you fail by the design of how we evaluate loyalty, disloyalty, or what have you, then when that goes, the principle and the value that we stand for, i.e. the hierarchy, it still stands. So I'm with that. You know, you get that in the whole monarchy scenario. That's not the only place, and that's not the best place, but that's the evolved reality. The king is dead. Long live the king. One dies, somebody else steps up. Why? Because it's not the person. It's the order. So a man respects authority. When you disrespect the authority that is representing the values that you're supposed to stand for, you're disrespecting the whole order. In fact, you're undermining the order, and the order is going to die. The more disrespect for the authority of the order grows, pretty soon there will be no order. There will be chaos. And chaos is not good. So a man that goes to the entropy piece, a man doesn't allow entropy to set in to the group life that they're a part of, because he knows that at the death of the order is the death of the whole people. Well, you don't care. What you going to do? You're going to go try to get in somebody else's house. Let your house fall. We can always go over here. And they treat you like a spiritual homeless person gets treated. This ain't your house. You didn't build his house. You didn't build his order. Don't act like you one of us. You're a visitor. I'm talking about those that have that attitude. I don't. The other and last is a man elevates their awareness at those times when the group is particularly vulnerable. Circumstances in which the group's enemies could prey on the group's weakness. As Quran, well, the Bible, we learned this in Nation of Islam before, where those of us who were part of it, everybody wasn't part of it. Watch as well as pray. We got that from the Bible. Watch as well as pray. But it's also in the Quran. It said in times of war, half of y'all should be posted up while the other half pray. And when they finish praying, trade places. Now you post up while they pray. Right? Okay, that's not just in that situation. Do you think these are times when Muslims are vulnerable to craziness? I mean, we are supremely vulnerable. Allah is over everything, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. So we depend on God's protection, but Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, see that first move, God got it. Allah got our back. That's fine. That's abstract. That's abstract. Let's be concrete on this. And the prophet shows us how to get the abstract from the concrete. Yeah, Allah is power over all things. Allah, nothing happens except by the will of Allah. That's true. But the prophet said, let me give you a detail that you may not have. Trust in Allah and tie your camel. Huh? What did I say? I'm tripping. So it's like, no, I'm not tripping. You know, my mind is somewhere. Thank you. See, that's where you are. That was just a tip. No. Trust in Allah and tie your camel. No, see, that's where y'all wrong, and that's good. That's opportunity for learning. I thought I said what I meant to say. So rewind that and fix it. Here it is. Let me just go ahead and give you the whole hadith. We're going to end it here. The prophet, a man came to the prophet to literally ask him that question because he was talking about the qadr. The qadr is a part of everything we're talking about. The qadr. Many mistranslated, especially Orientalists and other non-Muslims, they translate, some Muslims maybe too, they translate it as foreordainment. Foreordainment, predestination. That's not the right translation for qadr. Foreordainment, predestination, not. And let me say this while I'm on vocabulary. Interest is not the proper translation for riba. Interest is not the proper translation for riba. We deal with that another time. But don't think that, man, we can't be getting into that interest, man. We can't get into riba. You know, yeah, don't get into riba, but what you're talking about, comparing as interest, that's not the same. Usury is the closest thing that comes to it, but we're going to move on. All right, so the man asking the prophet the question about the qadr, he said, okay, say, I come with my camel, there's no place to tie my camel. Okay? So it says that if I tie the camel, it's going to get away anyway, doesn't make a difference. If I don't tie the camel, it's going to be there, because we're going to prayer, it's going to be there, and so when I come back, that's it. So it's the qadr. And the prophet told him, the first thing he said, trust in Allah. Now, I know you can see the logic of that right away. Which way am I going to be concerned first? I'm going to be concerned about my relationship with Allah. I'm going to be concerned about the reality of Allah. Allah is Ahad. Allah is number one. That means, see, that's a whole paradigm right there. If Allah is number one, if Allah is unique, then that's where you start. Trust in Allah. That's where you start. Then you go handle everything else after that. Trust in Allah, and then I used to say, then tie your camel. But when you read the hadith, it says, what? What? It means, and tie your camel. Don't trust in Allah, then tie. No, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, do both of them at the same time. You know, you bismillah, and tying up your camel, bismillah. Alhamdulillah. I said, okay, now that I trust God, now I'm going to go do something. Might be too late. Something happened. You didn't tie your camel. I mean, lock your car. Oh, God got me. I'm at the masjid. That might be the time to get God. Many that has happened, but I got to move on. So alhamdulillah, so we elevate men, elevate their awareness at those times when the group is particularly vulnerable, and circumstances in which the group's enemy could prey on the group's weakness. Brothers and sisters, we have to, and yes, brothers and sisters, we have to be on alert. There was some folks in here last Friday. You know, many times I'm gone earlier, but I was here a little later. I'm seeing folks who are saying, I know they wasn't in Juma. You know what I'm saying? And these were apparently, it's apparent to me, that they were non-Muslims. It's not a bad thing. It's not that we're looking, but if I don't know you, then I don't know you. So if I don't know you, then there's potential that you could be bringing something that I don't like. I can't act like, well, God, you love everybody. I mean, come on. You know? And somebody came in, I understand. The report that got to me is that somebody came in, and they're trying to bring something to get some of our vendors to sell, and, like, they got bootleg stuff and what have you. Y'all need to sell some of this. Come on now. Tell me what FOI would allow that to happen. But who checked them? As I've been told, it was a sister. Hello? You got all these men around here? And the sister got to check a stranger when he's coming to know her? Come on now. But alhamdulillah, she's the ex-MGT. Come on with that. You know what I'm saying? Don't get it twisted. Because we were ready on both fronts. But that's been lost on some of us. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. الله أكبر. بسم الله. الحمد لله. You know the list that I just went through? Were the general orders. Everything I said is an abstraction from the general orders. Many in here know that the general orders were the first thing that you learn as an FOI, the fruit of Islam in the nation of Islam. First thing. I'm going to read them. To take charge of this post and all temple property in view. I can feel your skin tingling. To walk my post in a perfect manner, keeping always on the alert. To report all violations of orders I'm instructed to enforce. To report all calls from posts more distant from the temple than my own. To quit my post only when properly relieved. to receive, obey, and pass on to the sentinel who relieves me all orders from the commanding officer, officer of the day, and non-commissioned officers of the guard only. Talk to no one except in the line of duty. This is when you post it up. When you post it up, there ain't no party. Let's move on. Talk to no one except in the line of duty. In case of disorder, give the alarm to allow no one to commit a nuisance on or near my post. In any cases not covered by instructions, call the guard. To salute all officers and standards not cased. To be especially watchful at night during the time of meeting. Every FOI had to know those and be ready to spout those at the just on command. But that's the abstract. That's the abstract. And it's good, something that's accurate but not detailed. That's what it means. The low resolution, the abstract aspect, it's correct. It's correct. All those things are good things to do. I gave you the details, some details, of each one of them. Which one of them does not apply today? Which one of them does not apply to Muslims? Wherever Muslims are. So it was an abstract. It was the kindergarten house. I'm not being pejorative about it. I'm drawing back to the picture, the image that I gave before. It's a roof, walls, and a door. If you got that, you got a man. And it's called the general orders. What's general? Abstract. What's order? Order is the details. Order is the structure. So it spoke to a hierarchy, and we all live in a hierarchy, several actually, but they are not all our own, nor do we see and understand most of them. A hierarchy, I know the word throws us sometimes, and I'm saying because I had to come to a clear understanding myself. A hierarchy, most of the time when we think about hierarchy, we think about a ladder. And we think about a pyramidal structure going from the bottom up to the top. And that's an abstract understanding. But in detail, in actuality, it's less like a ladder than it is like an abstract reality for social existence. I'll give you an example. Racism. Does racism exist in this society? Yes, it does. And you can put the color scheme pattern on it, but that will also be abstract, meaning that what is it? If you're white, you're right. If you're brown, stick around. If you're yellow, you're mellow. I don't know what happened to red, but if you're black, get back, right? That's the hierarchy, right? And that's seen in that way. But how does it play out in reality? It plays out in practically every institution that you go to. You go to the school, you got some racism there. You go to the politics, you got some racism there. You go to economics, you got some racism there, et cetera. It's not necessarily a structure. It's just an environment that you live in that has absorbed and that projects and that judges and evaluates and responds to people according to a set of values that are based on white supremacy. So white supremacy is the thing. And then everything gets structured on the basis of white supremacy. The politics, white supremacy. The economics, white supremacy. The business, white supremacy. Academics, white supremacy. All you got to look at is how they are structured and how they manifest and how people get stratified in all of those various institutions. They have been evaluated and placed where they are on the basis of a white supremacist narrative that globally dominates every institution. And this is why the Quran and Al-Islam says, let there arise out of you an ummah. Ummah means hierarchy. You build your own hierarchy. You follow your own set of values. You extract from your sources your own principles. And you build your world. You build your house on the basis of your hierarchy. You don't have to use material from the world as it is right now, as established, because this world wasn't built in your interest. This world was built counter to your interests. Muslims need to understand the world as it is structured and as it operates not 100% in total. There's quote unquote beauty and the beast in what I'm saying. But in the end, you can't just depend on the beauty and the beast quality and, or that you're always going to get the beauty. You got to always be ready and watch it out for the beast. And sooner or later, you're going to have to leave that castle where beauty and the beast actually live. And you don't have to leave it physically. You got to leave it mentally. You got to get your own mindset. You have to get your own value system. You have to get your own hierarchy. You have to get your own way of being. And that's exactly what Al-Islam gives. And you cannot, we cannot have a world that we're going to be at peace in, and that we're going to be productive in, and that we're going to be safe and secure and advancing in our generations until we start to live the hierarchy of values in Al-Islam that we profess. This ain't no dress rehearsal. It's real. It's unfortunate. Sometimes older men, we get old and it's like you're just waiting to die. What's up with that? What's up with that? I mean, why you get up in the morning? Why you get up in the morning? What you going to do?
I'm going to collect my retirement.
You know what I'm saying? It's like,
I got paid. I got to pay that car note, man. Got the mortgage paid. That's it?
So you going to die with good credit and nothing left behind for the baby grands and everybody else who's going to have to deal with you? What, you going to leave them on their own? Well, I guess y'all work it out.
Hell, my dad didn't give me nothing, so I ain't going to fatten up a rat for a snake. These are things that I've heard. I've never said them myself.
Okay. So, there's a reality of the hierarchy. We got an abstract of that when we were a part of the Nation of Islam. And I'm saying these things because it's a part of the legacy. I'm not trying to be there. I'm not trying to be there. I left there. I left there specifically, concretely, physically, like so many others, 1975. When we got the details. Huh? So the general orders altogether constituted the abstract of manhood. Watch this. Man, mashallah, I mean, I wish we had some today. You can go online, man. There's one picture of the FOI, as we say, back in the day. I mean, it was just ranks of brothers in the uniform. You think that ain't scary to some people? To some, it was scary. To others and say, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Why? Because it was reaching into the archetypal nature of manhood. And when the black man, I'm going to say black, mean no Bilalian, but when that black man saw that, he said, now that's what I'm talking about. How is that what you're talking about? Because my nation knows what manhood looks like, even if I can't explain it. I know it when I see it. That's what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad did. He said, let me show y'all some manhood. Huh? And that's what Malcolm X, and especially according to Ossie Davis, it was already true, but Ossie Davis in his eulogy for El Haj Malik El Shabazz, he said he was our shining black manhood. And when Malcolm was asked, what do you guys want? What do you want? He said, we want what every man wants. All you got to do is ask yourself what you want. That's what I want. I want what men want. And we all know, we all drink in and we all are inspired by that spirit that's evoked by that attitude, that disposition. Muhammad Ali, Rahim Allah Alayhi, manhood. Epitomized, and yeah, he had his other things, and his wife tell you on the documentary straight up. He said, "Well, he wasn't faithful to his marriages, but he was a man." Why do we love him? Why does the world love him? Muhammad Ali loved all over the world. Why? He was a man.
He didn't care about no gold medal. He didn't care about all these other things that the establishment was there. We're going to take this. We're going to take that. But take it. Take it. I'm ready to die right now. Y'all heard it all. Y'all heard all this. I'm ready to die right. And his stuff was real. And they honored that. I'm talking about the world honors that. Europeans, Asians, Africans. Why? Because they were an abstraction. They were the essence of manhood. And both of them came through what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave us. I'm saying, I'm not going back, I'm going forward. But I'm gonna put a Sankofa on you. That bird that flies forward by looking back with an egg in his either sometimes on the body, sometimes in the beak. But the head is turned around with the egg in it, but it's flying forward. That's a symbol. That's something to be abstracted from. Meaning that whatever we forgot about the past, we're bringing it forward as a seed to our future, and that's how we make progress. And I want you to understand that mythologically speaking, anthropologically speaking, that's how worlds make progress. They don't forget the excellence of what was behind them. And when they remember the excellence of what's behind them and live that out in their time and space, they make progress. So what are we holding on to? What are we going forward to? What are the principles and values? And if you don't have anything in mind, just start by being a man. Come on. Come on, Mr. Kennedy. Like, come on. What would you rather have said about you when all is said and done? If they couldn't say anything about you, but he was a man. Would that be enough? I think it'd be enough. But you got to know what a man is. A man ain't about making babies. I know I can go a whole lot of long ways with this. I'm not, don't worry. I know I feel you. I sure hope you don't go there. They start doing a Muhammad Ali. Start dipping under them blows. Mashallah. Okay, too much comedy right now, so we got to go. So the point is that it's accurate. When you looked at us, we looked like what men should look like. Why? Because we were abstract man. We were archetypal man. And if you can understand what I'm saying, we were in that picture the original man. We weren't the maker, the owner, the cream of the planet, Earth, father, civilization, God of the universe. No, but we were archetypal man. This is what a man looks like in principle. Yeah. Watching out for the sisters. Taking the bag to the car. Securing the building. Securing the property. Allow no one to commit a nuisance on and near my post. Get down if you got to get down with the get down. And it's cool. It's like that's what you got to do. Because once you decided this is your spot, I'm taking charge of all property in view. To be lackadaisical about that is like I don't know who that is. I don't know who that is. Who what man is it that's a part of the spot? And then they act like they don't have no duties or responsibilities to protect the spot and everybody in it. Come on now, we got gang Crips and Blood stronger than that. We got gangs that show more manhood than some Muslims. Come on, we there now. We there. I keep it 100. But that's manhood in the wrong place, in the wrong way. But that same manhood got to come. One example, Omar, radiallahu anhu. Omar was a hard hitter. You might have called him corner boy. Omar would have been one of them corner boys. The people that put in work out of state. I don't know if you know what I'm saying. But he was going to do that, and he got redirected. But what Omar said, I'm with this. It was Omar said, no, we ain't praying in private no more. Come on, we going to the masjid. We're going to the haram, and we're going to pray in public. And once they saw that Omar was, I think Hamza was leading on one rank and Omar was leading on the other rank, we're going to pray. You want some, you can meet me at the Kaaba. That's the way Omar made his hijrah, too. When he made his hijrah, say, look, I'm about to leave. They were stopping everybody else. I'm leaving. Anybody who want to make their wives, widows, and their children orphans, meet me at the end of the block. What's that? Manhood. So, brothers and sisters, inshallah, we'll turn the page, and in our next piece, we'll begin with the woman, inshallah. What was lacking in the old dispensation that we followed was the details of the higher definition as defined by Allah through the true sources of al-Islam. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he gave us a prayer to say, and is known as the prayer of refuge, and it is actually a dua from the Prophet, but we didn't have that detail at the time he gave it to us. Many of you who prayed that prayer for decades, you'll note it, and we'll conclude the khutbah with it. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. I seek refuge of Allah from anxiety and grief. I seek refuge of Allah from the lack of strength and laziness. I seek refuge of Allah from cowardliness and niggardliness, and from being overpowered by debt and the oppression of men. O Allah, suffice thou me with what is lawful, and keep me away from what is unlawful, and with your grace make me free of all want of what is beside thee. Amen. Alhamdulillah, I make a couple of announcements. It's an exceptional weekend, so we'll break between this, make this announcement and move on. New African Kitchen is serving today, alhamdulillah, so go ahead and plan for that. Also, save the date, June 12th through the 14th, the Mali Conference 2020 Muslim American Logic Institute Conference, one of the largest conferences in our association every year, is coming back here. We were the host for the 7th, and for next year we'll also be the host here, June 12th to the 14th, so save that date. Also, alhamdulillah, we have the banquet tomorrow, the Pioneer Banquet, with our special guest, Imam Abdul Karim Hassan, one of the stellar leaders in this very history that we were just touching upon. But we've limited ourselves. We said it was only going to be 75 tickets sold. That's so that everybody can be comfortable in this space who is present. So that's the limit of what's there. And I think before I sit up, what do we got? I mean, I know I'm out of order right now, but there's about 30 left. About 30, okay. After that, when we reach that 75 number, that's it. And we've set aside for that banquet complimentary tickets, a limited number of complimentary tickets for the ages 18 to 33. So the 18-year-olds, the 33-year-olds, you can come to the banquet with our compliments. Otherwise, the ticket is a $35 ticket. And why? Because it's a legacy. You need to be exposed to that legacy. And we're being exposed on this weekend to someone who was present in pushing that agenda in an excellent way until now. And so much, Elon. So 18, but you have to register that, make that reservation also with Amina. And if those don't get filled, if you will, then it will open up some space for adults. But beyond that, they're adults too, but I'm just saying regular feeding. So I think that's it. On Sunday, yes, Sunday, there'll be a public address and a book signing with Imam Abdul Karim Hassan. He's of Bilal Islamic Center in Los Angeles, California. You'll hear more about him
as we go on, is really just a very, very, very special person in the history of Al-Islam in America. So that's Sunday. I think that's it. Waalaikum as-salam. لا إله إلا الله سيدنا محمد رسول الله استووا سكينة رحمكم الله الله أكبر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين لإلاف قريش آلافهم رحلة شتاء وصيف فليعبدوا رب هذا البيت الذي أطعمه من جوع وآمنه من خوف الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمدا الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين أرأيت الذي يكذب بالدين فذلك الذي يدعو اليتيم ولا يحض على طعام المسكين فويل للمصلين الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون الذين هم يراءون ويمنعون الماءون الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمدا الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله جزاك الله سبحان الله الحمد لله الله أكبر لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العظيم. له لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم، لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم، له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض، من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه، يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم، ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء، وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض، ولا يعوده حفظهما، وهو العلي العظيم. الفاتحة. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. Also, brother and sister, we are more mainly to the men. After awesome prayer, we got to break down this whole area. We got to take the chairs out, roll the rugs up, bring the chairs out of the shed, bring them here. That's going to be right after awesome. Awesome is like 4 o'clock, round figure. So if you leave, come back. You need to hang out, get you some of that New Africa soul food that your soul can trust, and then hang out, make salat, and then break it down. Many hands make light work. So inshallah, we look forward to seeing you to help with that. Oh my goodness. Look like royalty here, man. Let me turn this off. Good to see you too.